Hallelujah. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Say, the Lord is good to me. Come on, say it like you mean. Say,
the Lord
is good
to me.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
You know, I got up early this morning, and I was, you know, I was in Vegas this last week. You have to earn your support somehow. As a missionary, you got to earn your support, you know. And so I was at the tables, you know, baby don't need a new pair of shoes. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Hallelujah. No, I really wasn't. I was out at a minister conference this last week. And I got up early this morning and was praying and seeking God. And you know, I got up a little after 6 this morning, and it's 3 in Vegas. I thought, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And then I was just so thankful for the goodness of God. Then I was also thankful that Pastor Peggy didn't have an early service. Hallelujah. Last year I got here and they said, oh, we have an early service. I thought, oh, okay, you're preaching that. One of my pastor friends in Colorado, I preach for him every year. And I went to his church. He said, oh, did I tell you we had 3 services? I said, you're doing the first one. I said, I don't do the early one. But anyway, it's a joy and a privilege to be back with you. I mean, oh, God is doing great things. Amen. And we just want to share a little bit about what you're helping us do in the nation of Guatemala. How many know you have seed in that nation? You do. From this place, you're touching that nation. Isn't that cool? I mean, you come to this place, you give, you sow, you work, you serve, and you love God. But from this place, you're touching somebody else's life. Amen. That's a full meal deal. Amen. How many know God is good? Amen. And I can say it this way. God is good, but he has some good people too. Amen. And so as a missionary, I live full time in the nation of Guatemala. And by design, God has made us dependent upon him. Without God, we can do nothing. Amen. But, you know, not only has God made us dependent upon him, God has made us dependent on one another. Amen. We need each other in the body of Christ. And sometimes people say, well, I can do the will of God and I don't need anybody. Well, hey, you need God. Because without God, what you do will be wood, hay, and stubble. It will burn up. Amen? Right. If you want to be fruitful and you want to be productive in the kingdom of God, you've got to stay connected to God. Amen?
Amen?
But not only do you need God to do the will of God, we need each other in the body of Christ. Amen? You cannot do it alone. How many know even the Long Ranger had a helper?
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
And so I just want to say thank you to this church. Like your pastor says, I come every year, and this church has been a huge, huge blessing to us. And I just like coming. Hallelujah, praise God. And so I love your pastors, and next year I'm just going to come and stay for a few more days. Just hang out with them. Hallelujah. And I'm walking in love. Last year I came, and I got here, and they weren't here. I'm still getting over that. I mean, it hurt me, you know, just really, you know. But anyway, I do love your pastors. You have good pastors. Amen. They're not perfect like me. But God is working on them. Hallelujah. Some way, somehow. Hallelujah. That's a nice picture. Hallelujah. Isn't that nice? Praise God. We'll just sit here and watch that for a while. No, I'm joking. Hallelujah. I better show a video, or we'll be here in the next service. They can just come in and join us. But they do have a video that they're going to show, and it's only 4 hours long. We can do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, it's only a few minutes long, and it just shows you your seed and what you're helping us do in the nation of Guatemala. We're not the only ones there, but we do have a part to play in what God is doing. And I was telling, I think it was Pastor Norm this morning, we've been there since, actually, we moved there in 2008, and then we had to leave, and we had a family incident where one of our children got sick, and so we had to come back to they had to come back and do some things. Then we moved back as a family in 2009, and we just graduated our 6th class of Bible school in October. And I have to say, you know, how many know you work, you do what God tells you to do. You sow, you plant, and you believe God for a harvest. And this year was a really good year. I mean, we had a blessed year. You don't want to put one class over another class, but this year of Bible school, it was just really a harvest year. And the wonderful students, and matter of fact, the first week after we graduated, one of our students took it literally. He went out into the highways and the byways, and he got over 11 people born again in 1 week. I mean, that is something else. And like 3 people healed in just 1 week. We graduated on Friday, and then the next Sunday, he had like 11 people born again. And so we're going to do something a little bit different next year. We're going to do a second year program. The school year runs from February to October down there. And so we usually do a 1 year program, but we're going to kick it off and we're going to do a second year program. We're going to run it simultaneous with the first year. And so we covet your prayers, and it's going to be a little step up for us. But how many know God is good? Amen. And so they got a video of going to show, and one of the things you're going to see coming across the screen is the statistics. And the statistics is from an outreach that we did in October. And October the 1st is National Kids Day in Guatemala. And they do everything. I mean, they do parties, they do parades, they just do a lot of things for the kids. And we've been wanting to do something, particularly my wife, wanting to do something the last few years, but we just hadn't been there to be able to do that financially or staff-wise. But we stepped out on the water, and we had over 400 children come and did 3 different outreaches. We actually went to 2 churches and did like a vacation Bible school, and then we went to 1 public school, and they let us go in there and preach the gospel. We laid hands on them, and we blessed them, and so we just really did it good, and we gave every child, we had over 400 kids, we gave every child a Bible, every boy got a ball, and every girl got a doll, amen? And we had over 80 children born again, amen? Amen. And so then that 1 week, we did that, and that was probably a budget of $6,000 it cost us to do that. And then we, with the team we brought in, we built 2 houses, and that was a total of $6,000. I mean, you know, God is a good God, amen? So we went up in the mountains, and we built a house for 2 needy families, and we just gave it to them. We don't charge them. We just show them that God loves them and God cares about them. And, you know, it's a great reward that we're able to just reach out and to love people. How many know God loves people, amen? And to see those little children where they were living on a dirt floor and just a dried corn stalk as a wall. And we go in and give them a concrete slab. We give them a bed to sleep in and a roof where it won't leak and walls and a door where they can actually lock. And the kids are jumping on their beds and they got those, you know, little cartoon, you know, mattresses that we put a bedspread on there. And so they're just, you know, they're just having a wonder. How many know that's a rewarding? Amen. And so you help us do that. Amen. So great is your reward. Amen. We better play that video. Go ahead. Hallelujah. So that's just a little bit of what you're helping us do in the nation of Guatemala. Now, some people like for me to come and share what we're doing in Guatemala. And some people like me to come and share the word. And then some people like it because I bring coffee. Hallelujah. And people say, well, I don't drink coffee. Well, I can cast that demon out of you. Hallelujah. But we do live in the nation of Guatemala, and they have coffee everywhere. And so what we do is we bring it with us, and we bootleg this stuff from not state lines. I bring it across international waters. Hallelujah. Praise God. I bring it in with me. Hallelujah. I get a rental car, and I fly into the nation, and I'm here in this nation, and I get a rental car, and I put that coffee in my trunk, and I don't need to stop at Starbucks because I get high off the fumes in my car. Seriously, I mean, it's all really good stuff. But anyway, we have coffee back there. It's only $18 a bag. And let me tell you what the coffee sales does for us. Last year, I came in and I preached November and December, and I travel and itinerate. We graduate our Bible school in October. I come back in the States, you know, sometime in October, in November, and I travel. And then we're here for the holidays. But the book table sales, selling the coffee, bought my wife's airplane ticket and my son's airplane ticket back to Guatemala. Isn't that a pretty good deal? Amen. It just helps us with our travel. You get coffee and I get airline tickets. Hallelujah. That's good things. Hallelujah. But anyway, it's back there. It's only $18. If you and I make a little special. How many of you like specials? If you buy 2 bags, I'll give you a special. How many want a special? If you buy 2 bags, it's $18. But if you buy 2 bags, it's $100. Special for me. Hallelujah. It's special for me. Amen. Who would like this coffee? The first one now. Come on. This guy back there. Come on. Come on now. Come on down. You got to do like you're on Price is Right. You got to run down here like this. Run down here like this. Hallelujah. You got a grinder?
Yeah, no.
No, So you don't have a grinder. It's whole bean. I don't even sell whole bean. Now, so you take it and you put it in your mouth, chew it up a little bit, then put it in the coffee filter. There you go. Praise God. God bless you. Be sure and pay for that on the way out. The Lord helps those who help themselves. No, I'm just joking. We do have a brochure back there. It just gives you a little bit information about what we're doing in the nation of Guatemala. And there is some typos, so you can play, you know, the games where you, you know, do the different pictures. You can play find the typos. We know about them. So don't come up and tell me later. We know about them. There was a little confusion between the printer. We thought they were correcting some of this, and then they thought we had already corrected it, and they printed it. But anyway, it's paid for, so I'm going to use them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I think you need that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead and stand up to your feet. The reason your pastor has me come in is for you'll appreciate her next week. I'm just doing my part in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And Father, we are thankful for everything that you've given to us. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for calling us your child. Yes, we are your child. We are your sons and daughters. And we honor you, Lord. We lift our voice and we lift our hands and we give you glory. We give you honor, Father God. It's a privilege to come into your house. It's an honor to come into your house to worship you, to magnify you, and to give you our thanks, to give you our praise. We thank you, Father God. We magnify you, Lord. You are good. You are good, Lord. We thank you, Father. Yeah, we cry out to you, Father. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Father God. There's no God like our God. There's no God like our God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. Now, Father, we approach your word with reverence and awe. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly. It is a good thing. It is an honor to come and to listen to your voice, to hear your word. Father, minister to us. I'm expecting you to show yourself to every person in this place. You know where they're at. You know what they need. So speak to them, Lord. By your word and by your spirit. I just yield myself as a vessel, Lord. Let the things that be said bring glory and honor and praise to you, Father. Let it minister to the hearers. And Father, we covenant with you. Not to just be hearers of the word, not just to be shouters of the word, but to be doers of the word. Thereby we'll see great and mighty results for our life and also for the kingdom of God. We just give you the glory. We give you the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said,
amen.
You can be seated.
Amen.
Wasn't worship good this morning? Worship team, y'all did a wonderful job. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was really good. I mean, I could have just, we could have just did that. Sold the coffee and go home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Romans chapter 5. I like Harry. Everybody loves Harry. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by what? Say it loud, say it proud. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Therefore, being justified by faith. Now look at this part. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to get that down in your spirit. It says here, we have peace with God. I mean, you know, God is not mad at you. God is not trying to punish you. God is not out to get you. I mean, you know, through the blood of Jesus, you and I in the body of Christ have been reconciled with God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
God is not fighting. He's not fighting against you. He's fighting for you. Amen?
Amen?
Because of the blood of Jesus, we've been reconciled to the Father, and you and I have peace with God. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got peace with God. Now, look at me to John chapter 14. It gets better, amen? John chapter 14, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking here. How do we know it's Jesus speaking here? Because it's in red. Ah. John chapter 14, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now go back to the first part. He said, this is Jesus speaking. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace. And you know, we not only have peace with God, but we've got the very peace of God. Amen? Amen. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we have peace with God, and we've been given the very peace of God. Amen? Amen. Upon this world, I can have days of heaven right here and right now. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what I'm facing, no matter what the storms may be, the wind can blow, but I can stand secure upon the rock, and I can experience the very peace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. This is the very peace that Daniel had in that den.
Yeah.
They put him in that den, and what happened? The lions didn't eat him up. He had peace in the storm. He had peace in the pit. And I believe he just crawled up with one of those lions and went to sleep. Now, some people want to explain away the Bible. I don't explain away the Bible. I just believe the Bible.
Amen.
Say amen. Well, some people want to explain away the Bible. They say, well, you know, really, those lions weren't hungry. And that's why Daniel could be in that lion's pit and not get devoured. They weren't really hungry. Well, read the Bible. I mean, the Bible is good. It's good to read it.
Yeah.
Kind of straightens out your theology. Amen. We don't go by what somebody says. We go by what it says. Amen?
Amen.
So if you read the Bible, I mean, it straightens out your theology.
Amen.
When they took Daniel out of that pit, they put his accusers in the pit. And the Bible says before their body hit the bottom of the pit, the lions ate them up.
Yeah.
They were hungry lions. Amen? They were man-eating lions. Hallelujah. But Daniel had peace in the storm. Amen?
Amen.
And you and I, no matter what is going on, and I know there's turmoil, and I know there's confusion, and there's terrorist attacks, but I can experience the very peace of God. Amen?
Yes.
I don't have to be worried about things. I don't have to be upset about things. How God is in heaven, I can have it right here and right now. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody say, I got peace with God.
I got peace with God.
And say, I got the peace of God. Amen?
I got the peace of God.
Now listen to me. Just because we've been given something doesn't mean we're going to use it. Just because we've been given something doesn't mean we're going to walk in it. Amen? For instance, everybody has been given a brain. And you know people that don't use that noodle that God's given them. I didn't say your name. But you know what I'm talking about. But I don't know about you, but I want to experience everything that God has for me. Amen? I want to walk fully in what Christ has purchased for me in his redemptive work. Amen?
That's good.
And so let me give you 100 ways to walk in the peace of God. And if I don't get through, Pastor will pick up next week.
I got it.
She got my back. You got this. Let me just give you, can I just give you a few?
Amen.
Yeah. What a few to you, it's not a few. It wouldn't be a few to me. By definition, what does that mean? Okay. Oh, if you can't have fun in church, where can you have fun? My wife says it's a shopping mall. She can have fun at a shopping mall, you know. I said, yo, you plaster the moment, master the moment. Plaster cotton, man. You'll get it later. Hallelujah. Let me just give you four. Can I give you four? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. That's good Spanish. Hallelujah. Take my socks off, I can go higher. Okay. Again, they have me in for you appreciate your pastor next week. Let me just give you four ways to tap in to the peace of God, to walk fully in the peace that has been given to you and me in the body of Christ. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and what?
Peace.
Be multiplied. Now look at that. Multiplied. Didn't say just add it. We've gone from adding to multiplication. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means the more I get to know God, the more I get to know Jesus, the more peace I will have. Amen? Listen to me. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of God. Amen? In the world that I live in the turmoil and confusion, and people are really surprised at what's happening in the world, but it's in the Bible. In the last days, gross darkness will cover the face of the earth, but I don't have to let the darkness get in me. Amen? I can have the very peace of God. Amen?
Yes.
And how I do that is keep pursuing after Him. Amen? Not just know about God, but know God. Amen? Now, some people have their asbestos suit on. They're missing hell and they're going to heaven and they know God in salvation. They just know Him in that redemptive work of salvation. But there's so much more to know about God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want peace, you've got to stay pursuing. I'm hungry for God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not satisfied. I want more and more and more. Amen?
Amen?
And some people, the more you know them, the less peace you can have. Because why? We're not perfect. We're growing, we're developing. But how many know the more I know Him, when I put my mind upon Him, He will keep me in perfect peace. Amen? Listen to me. Don't remove God from the equation. Amen? Every single day, seek after God. Amen? Put your heart, turn your affections toward the kingdom of God. Turn your affection toward God. Amen? Pursue after Him 100%. When you know God, you'll know peace. Amen? The more I have of the world, the less peace I will have. But the more I have of God, the more peace I will have. Amen? You got to pursue after God. That means you got to read your Bible. That means you got to pray. You got to come to church. You got to fellowship with God. You got to put God in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Many people separate God from their life. And they put God where they want Him at. Maybe come to church. Maybe read the Bible. Okay? But everything I do has to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in God. Amen? Everything I do, I'm pursuing after God. I want Him. And when you pursue after God, I mean, the peace of God is upon His life. Amen?
Yes.
So when I hug God, I mean, I get that peace. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Say, I want more.
I want more.
Say, I'm not satisfied.
I'm not satisfied.
Listen to me. I don't care how much you know of God. There's more to know of God.
Amen.
And it's not just information, but it's revelation. Amen?
Amen?
Knowing Him more. The Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament, made this statement, I want to know Him more. Did Paul know Him? Yeah, Paul knew Him. But he wrote most of the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. But you know, he wanted more and more and more of God. Amen? I'm not finished yet. There's more to God that I want. Amen? I want God in my everyday life and everything that I have. I want God more and more. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Good?
Let me give you another one. Woo, glory to God. I preach myself happy. Woo, glory to God. And I knew what I was going to say. I still got happy about it. Look at Colossians. Let me give you two. Number one, go after God. Everybody say, go after God.
Go after God.
Number two, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, what does that mean? If you want peace, you got to follow after peace. Some people are wondering why they have no peace, but they're not doing what peace tells you to do. God is going to lead us by peace into peace. So if you want peace, you got to follow after peace. Now, I got a question to ask you. What do you do at a red traffic light? Alto, you stop, amen? What do you do at a green traffic light? You go. Now, what do you do at a yellow traffic light? Hurry up and get through the light. Whoa, glory to God. And believe there's no camera, you know. Listen to me. Many people have been running the red lights. And they wonder why they have no peace. Don't run the red lights. Everybody say, no peace,
no peace,
no go.
No go.
Say it again, no peace,
no peace,
No go.
No go.
What is peace telling you to do? God is going to lead us by peace into peace. Amen? If you want peace, you've got to do what peace tells you to do. Now, years ago, back before my wife and I had kids, we were living in Georgia. And we were associate pastors and youth pastors of the church there in Georgia. This is back in the early 80s. Staying alive. Ha. I know. Disco was king, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. And we wanted a microwave. So we went to the shopping mall. The little town that we lived in didn't have a mall. You know, we didn't. So we drove to Atlanta, about 30, 40 minutes away. We lived in a suburb of Atlanta, just south of Atlanta. We drove to the mall, and we walk into Sears, and we had a discussion on which microwave to buy. Well, I'll be honest, we had an argument. She wanted this one, and I thought, just submit, woman. Buy this one. Yeah, I know. You said the same thing before.
Amen.
Truthful. So we couldn't agree on which one to buy. And so there was no peace. And I'd rather have peace with my wife than a microwave. I'm just going to help your marriage right now. It's better to have peace with your wife than a microwave. Write it down in your Bible. Than a microwave. Amen? So there was no peace there. We realized it. You know, she wanted this one, and I wanted that one, and we just, you know, there was just no peace. And we were like, you know what? We're not going to do this over a microwave. So we got back in the car, and we drove. I had the money to buy the microwave. But there was no peace to buy them. There was no peace there. We were like, why? Over a microwave? We're not going to do it. So we got back home, and about a couple months later, my in-laws came out to visit us, and it was Christmas time at that time. And they came out to visit us, and I helped them bring in the stuff. And then my father-in-law said, Harry, would you help me go out and bring in y'all's present? It's in the backseat of the car. And I walked outside, and listen to me. In those days, microwaves were as big as a refrigerator.
Yes.
They really were. They were huge, and they weighed as much as the car. And so I walked outside, opened the back door, and there was a big present inside there. And I thought, whoa, glory to God. I can feel the anointing, hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. And so I helped them bring that present in. We put it on the kitchen table, and we opened it up. You know what it was?
Microwave.
Now people say, well, was that, did you get a microwave? Is that why you didn't have any peace? Because your in-laws were buying you a microwave? Or was that a reward for following after peace and not getting into strife? And, your wife not obeying you. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. Was that a reward? I said, I don't know what it was. All I know is I got a microwave and it didn't cost me a dime. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It didn't cost me a penny. It was a better microwave than she wanted, than I wanted. What I'm saying is sometimes we're overriding the peace of God. God is going to lead us by peace into peace. Amen? What God tells you to do, follow after that peace. If you want peace, you got to be led by peace. Amen? You got to let peace be the umpire, be the rule in your life. Amen? If there's no peace, everybody say, no go.
No go.
Isn't that good preaching?
Good.
Let me give you another one. Say amen. Now, Mark chapter 4, we won't take time to read all of this, but in Mark chapter 4, reading probably about verse 35 through 41, we see Jesus with his disciples in a ship, and they were going to the other side, and a storm came up. And where was Jesus during the storm? The Bible says he was asleep on a pillow. And I used to wonder, why so much detail? Why asleep? Just tell me he's asleep. This is, you read the Bible, it says asleep on a pillow. And I used to think, why? Well, I believe they were showing us that he wasn't taking a cat nap or a power nap. He was actually physically asleep. And a storm came up, and the disciples were terrified about the storm. And so they came downstairs, and they opened up, and they woke up Jesus, and they said, don't you care? Don't you? We're going to die. We're going to die. They questioned God's care for them. Listen to me. No matter what storms that comes against you, never question if God cares about you or not. Amen. The storm doesn't reflect God's heart. Amen. In the midst of the storm, God is still there and he still loves you no matter what comes against you. Amen. He's not sending the storm, but you can overcome the storm. Amen. So Jesus, the disciples were terrified. The storm was not, you read your Bible, the storm wasn't only on the outside, but it was also on the inside. It was in the ship, and their life was being threatened. And they came downstairs, they woke up Jesus and said, help us, we were going to die. And so Jesus gets up, takes the sleep out of his eyes, walks up on top of the ship, and read your Bible. It says he rebuked the storm and spoke peace to the storm. What does that mean? Jesus took his authority over the storm. Amen? Listen to me. There's going to be storms that come against us. There's going to be problems, situations. People say, well, why walk by faith? I have no problems. No, no, honey. You walking by faith means you got the ammunition to overcome the problems. Amen? Jesus said himself, we're in the world, we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? So Jesus took his authority over the storm. He spoke to the storm. He didn't speak about the storm. The disciples did, but he took authority over the storms. Amen? And when he took authority over the storm, the Bible says it was a great storm, but great peace came upon the waters. Amen? His peace is greater than the storm. Amen? Jesus got up and he rebuked the storm. He talked to the storm. And my daughter lives with us in Guatemala. She's been to Reina. She's been to college. And back, probably 3.5 years she's been back with us in Guatemala. And she works for a missionary out of Russia. His name is Rick Renner. And she still works for him, actually, from Guatemala. Make her daddy want to run. He's paying her. Well, glory to God. He, you know, pays her from Guatemala. You know, he's in Russia. Anyway, many of you know who Rick Renner is. He wrote a good book. But Rick is a Greek scholar. He really is a Greek scholar. He just doesn't know Greek. I mean, he really is a Greek scholar. He said, when Jesus rebuked the storm and he spoke peace to the storm, this is literally what he did. Shh. Jesus shushed the storm.
Oh, that's good.
He shushed the storm. Gloria. Listen to me. It's not nice to shush other people. And it really is not wise to shush your wife. Just helping your marriage again. Hallelujah. But it's okay to shush the storm, ain't it? When the storms of life come against you, you need to stand up and take your God-given authority and say, no, 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 not here. Amen. When Jesus rebuked the storm, he turned to his disciples after he rebuked the storm. He took authority of that storm and peace came. He took authority of it and he turned to his disciples and says, ¿Qué pasa? What's up? Where's your faith? Where is your faith? Indicating to me they could have done what he just did. A lot of times we're whining and complaining about the problem. We're whining and complaining to other people. We're whining and complaining to God and blaming God. And God said, I've given you authority. I've given you power. It's time you stand up and overcome those problems and speak peace to those problems. Amen. Listen to me, I'm not minimizing the problems that we face. We have mountains, and we're going to face things, but we got the ammunition to overcome those things. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, the problem may come against me, but I come against it in the name of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to take my authority and say, no, 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 this is a no-fly zone. You can't come here. Amen?
Amen.
That's good preaching. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I got to quit. Let me give you Unamas. One more. Go back with me to John chapter 14. Oh, glory to God. Isn't God good? This is in the Bible. Wow. John chapter 14, verse 27. Again, Jesus is speaking here. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, what does that mean? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That means that God has given us peace with God. He's given us the very peace of God. But we have responsibility to guard and protect that peace. We have responsibility to make sure nothing comes in to hinder us from walking in the peace that God has given us. It's our responsibility to guard over that peace. I mean, there's going to be things that try to come in, and you're going to have to make sure nothing is going to hinder your peace. Say amen. There are viruses out there that are designed to keep you from the peace that God's given you. Amen? Listen to me. You can have the most expensive computer, state-of-the-art, fast, megabucks, and you can hop on the internet and get a virus, and it can lock down that computer and make it no more than an expensive paperweight. Same way in the world that we live in. There's things out there. And what do you do with your valuables? You lock them away. You protect them. In some cases, you hire guards to watch over your possessions because you value those. I value the peace of God, and I'm going to watch over that peace, and nothing is going to hinder my peace. Nothing, no virus, no circumstances, no problem is going to come in and steal, kill, and destroy my peace and stop me from experiencing the peace that God's given me. Amen? Now, a few years ago, it's probably been a couple years ago, there was an incident that happened. Somebody did something wrong to me, and what they did was wrong. I'm not making myself right. I mean, you know, there's a right and there's a wrong. Thank you for your excitement. There's a right and there's wrong. And what they did was wrong. But how many know I know the word? So what do I have to do? Get a gun and shoot them. Just joking. You come against me, I got a 45. No, I'm joking. bad Harry. No, I know the word. So what do I got to do? I have no choice. I got to forgive. I can't control what you do to me, but I can control what I do to you. Amen? Amen. And so I forgave them, and I walked in love. I really, honestly forgave them. And I don't know, earlier this year, probably around April, March this year, I was praying. And I said, Lord, it just seems like I have the peace that I should have. Well, what's wrong? You know what I mean. Kind of like Brother Hagin describes, you know, like taking a shower with your socks on. You just know it's not right. Something doesn't feel right. And I was like, Lord, it just doesn't feel right. What is it? He said, you know that incident? I said, yeah. He said, you forgave them, but they hurt you. And you're still carrying that hurt. They hurt me. And what they did was wrong. And I forgave them. But the hurt was still there. And that, what was that? That was a virus that was keeping me from the peace that God had for me. And I had to open myself and let God come in and heal that hurt. It was a virus. It snuck in there. I mean, a virus is, you can open up an email and you can get a virus without even knowing it. It can piggyback on there. And that's what that was. I forgave them. I released them. But the damage, the hurt was still there. And I had to let the Lord come in and heal that hurt before I could see the peace that he wanted me to have. Amen. I want you to go ahead and stand up to your feet. I want to pray with you. I want you to bow your heads. I want to pray with you just real quickly. Maybe you've let a virus come in. Maybe there's a situation, something hindering you from walking in the peace that God has given you. So we're going to deal with that right now. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's pride. Whatever it may be, you know what it is. I believe the Lord spoke to you. If there's an issue right there, let's just make it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, every single one of us, open our hearts to you, Lord. We put up our antivirus protection. We don't let anything come in that will hinder us from experiencing and walking fully in the peace that you've given to us. So I speak peace over every person. If you need to forgive somebody, do it right now. You don't have to make it long, drawn out. Make a decision right now. If there's been hurt, rejection, whatever it may be, I believe the Holy Spirit can minister to your heart right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No situation, no problems, no difficulties. In the name of Jesus. Did you just receive it? Just receive it right now. Yeah, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to not hold on to that. Pride, whatever it may be. Lust, whatever it may be. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now look at me real quick. We've been given authority. We've been given power. It's our responsibility to take our authority. Many times we're asking God, don't you care, God? I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. And God said, I've given you authority. I've given you power. Many of you may be facing something right now, and I'm not minimizing what you're facing, but you have authority over that storm. You have authority. So you're going to have to stand up and speak peace to that storm. Now, I don't know what it is that you're facing. It may be a financial, it may be healing, it may be a sickness in your body, it may be a relationship. I don't know what it is. But there's a problem there. Listen to me. You get that problem right now, and we're going to take our authority together over that problem. So listen, this is what we're going to do. On the count of three, we're going to say, peace, be still. Say amen.
Amen.
On the count of three, we're going to say, peace. You got that problem? We're going to say, peace, be still. So just lift your hands right now. You get that problem. On the count of three. One, two, three. three. Peace, be still. Do it again. Say, peace, be still. Now everybody do this. Shh. Just close your eyes. Father, I pray right now. If there's anybody here this morning that don't know you as their personal Savior, Father, I pray right now that you would touch their hearts. I would pray, Father God, that they would be softened to your message, to your love. And I pray, Father God, salvation come into their life. With your heads bowed, nobody looking around. If you're here, you can put your hands down real quickly. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, just raise your hand right where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just right where you're at. I want you to raise your hand. You don't know Jesus, but you'd like to know Jesus. Simply raise your hand. Be the best decision you ever make in your life. Anybody here? Okay, you can look up at me. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody say, I have
the peace of God.
Say again, say, I have
the
peace of God.
Listen
to me. When the storms of life come against you, you stand up and take your God-given authority and you overcome those storms. Amen?
Amen.
You don't let them overcome you. You overcome them. Everybody say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
And say, I'll buy coffee. See how I snuck that in there? Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. Come to Guatemala.